I like the in-break conversation me and Monroe were having. We're talking about the business of the NFL, obviously. We talked about it just beforehand without getting into specifics of what the NFL is worth, because I don't even know how you'd put all those numbers together. My calculator would break. There's not enough zeros at the end of it. At that point, we said probably the 32 teams together average probably $5 billion at this point, and maybe even going forward more than that with all the gambling stuff about to blow up even more than it is. That's $160 billion just for the franchises, not for any of the business stuff around all of it. But we were talking about John Elway, because John Elway, at the time of his retirement or close to his retirement, was given, I believe, the option by Pat Bowlen, who was the former owner of the Denver Broncos, a chance to get, I believe it was at the time, 10% of the team instead of taking a check. It was 10% of the team instead of taking that like $21 million check. I'm going to read this for you because I just found it. So the impending purchase of the Broncos was a record set, $4.65 billion. Mm. It says probably stings a bit for John Elway. And you're probably thinking, well, what do you mean? Well, he had a chance to purchase a stake in the team, which was that check, in 1998. It would have earned him around $900 million with that sale that happened. Super Bowl champ was still playing for the Broncos at the time when he was offered a 10% piece of the team by Pat Bowlen for the money they owed him. It was $21 million per Darren Revelle. Bowlen also offered Elway an additional 10% for a $15 million check that he was due at the time, too. So $36 million at that time, $36 million would have bought 20% of the Denver Broncos.
Of an NFL franchise. Now, my question is, I think everyone would, this is the real question. How much money did he have in the bank? Like, what did he have contract-wise going up to that?
Okay, so it says here, Elway, who played for the Broncos 16 seasons, made $45.4 million during his playing career. Doesn't mean he had that in the bank.
No.
That was just his career earnings in the NFL, which is weird to say because John Elway, one of the greatest of all time, that's what literally one quarterback makes in 1 year now.
Yeah.
In 1997... he sold 5 car dealerships. He bought them while he was playing, I guess, or right afterwards. Sold them for $82.5 million.
And now this is before or after the offer?
So this was 97. He sold the dealerships. It must have been right when he retired. Or right when the Super Bowl, he was getting into the Super Bowl.
So he retired with that. So he didn't have the money in hand pocket yet.
No. So let's just say at the time of his actual retirement, car dealerships, money from football, money in the bank, $100 million. Let's say a little bit over 100. 110. 110.
How you turn down that offer then? I mean, you don't have to worry about money. Money shouldn't be an option if you made, you know, $100 million right after taxes and everything else, after you buy a couple things. Let's say you should easily, comfortably have $30, $40 million in the bank.
Right.
All right? Unless you did some dumb investments.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm sure it's possible.
And to say a gamble, obviously, you know, gambling is one of those things where if you don't go big, you don't make a lot of money sometimes.
Correct.
Right? Or you could lose a lot. But you go to smarter people to say, okay, business valuations, where is this trending? Where has it came from the last 10 years? Where do we think this can go technology-wise with your money in a sport? Man, I don't know. It's kind of hard to turn down if I had $30 million in the bank.
Right. Well, think about this. That $36 million would have bought him 20% of the team. That means the team estimate was $180 million for the franchise. That was back in 1997.
And it's just going up.
So we're talking about less than, let's see, 22 and 3. So 25 years ago. In 25 years, it went from an estimated $180 million to almost $5 billion. You want to talk about how good of a business the NFL is?
Right. Goodness.
I mean, we're playing overseas. We got games over there. They want more. They want franchises out there, which if they ever do that, it'd be ridiculous.
It's not
going to
work.
Right. I mean, I don't even think the players like going over to London or Mexico City or now it's Germany this
Germany,
year.
Germany,
Frankfurt,
baby.
Germany this
yes.
year.
Yes. Oh, no, we go Munich this year.
Munich, okay.
That's right. I might go to that one.
Right, which would be fun to go to for a game, but to have a franchise or something out there be absolutely ridiculous at that point. But you look at this and you think about 1997, the Broncos – in Elway's mind, weren't worth $180 million. Because otherwise, why wouldn't you take? Why wouldn't a business advisor, someone close to you, say, listen, John, I get it. $36 million is a lot of money. You made 45 in your career. 36 is 80% of that.
Yeah.
We get it. I mean, I understand. I feel like the NFL is going to get a little bit bigger in the next 20, 25, 50 years for you and your family. $36 million investment right now gets you 20%. Let's say the team is worth, and this is someone who doesn't know better, 25 years ago says, let's say in 25 years that team is worth almost $1 billion. That's $200 million from your 36. That's just a billion.
That sounds kind of good.
It's 4.65.
That sounds kind of good.
Right.
Damn.
Damn is right. Because the business in the NFL is out of control.
It is.
And
it is.
Only getting bigger and better. Who would have ever thought 25 years ago, A, you would have never thought because we didn't realize as much when it comes to streaming and
technology
stuff like that
wise.
And technology.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You knew it would get better and we'd have flying cars. I saw Back to the Future, too.
Course,
I knew that.
That happened, what, 2 years ago? With
we all
cars?
Knew that, right? We all knew we'd have flying cars and
I'm still waiting for my hoverboard.
Right, and hoverboards. We all knew that. But, man, in 1997, someone didn't tell him this would be a really good investment, I think, and didn't see the NFL going to where it did. Now, you would have never been able to tell me in 1997, I don't even care if you actually did see in the future, that the NFL is going to be all over gambling. There's going to be possibly sports books in every stadium by 2028, you know, in 5 or 6 years from now. You're going to have literally fantasy football as big as – I mean, I remember 1997, I was a senior in high school. 1997, we were doing fantasy football, and I think it just started, like, on the internet. Maybe just started where, like, you actually could do an internet. Otherwise, it was me walking in with the Sunday paper to my drama class, you know what I mean, and a box score and putting the points together. Oh, he had, you know, Marino throw for 325 yards, so divide that by 10, that'd be 32 points. Like, that's how we used to do fantasy football. Obviously, things have changed, a $1 billion business now. But everything that the NFL has touched, fantasy football.
Gold.
Gambling. Pizza sponsorships,
gold.
Streaming, TV deals, DirecTV with the Sunday ticket.
Apparel.
Nothing in that package that I just said is worth less than $1 billion. Maybe Little Caesars. Maybe that's worth less than $1 billion.
Yeah, little,
but everything else?
I saw the right. Little Caesars ones. I was like, they really going to Little Caesars?
Yeah, they saving money, baby.
Hot and ready, baby.
Little Caesars, by the
way. $5. Keep it coming.
Vlad and me used to work in the old building at QAM, and there used to be a Little Caesars, I think, like right down the street. That used to be the go-to when you had to do the six-hour weekend shifts, and I used to, like, tag off with Vlad on the weekend.
Oh, you went to – nah, I decided to go to Tony's, man.
Tony's. Okay, Tony's
down
the street.
Shout out to Tony's, man.
Shout out to Tony's Pizza down in 441, right?
Little Caesars.
But, like, we used to do that. Like, that would be, like, somebody walking in for a shift with a $5 pizza because you had to do a six-hour shift.
Yeah, man.
I didn't think that the $5 pizza company – was going to end up being the pizza sponsor
of the NFL.
The biggest sports business in the United States.
But there's no controversy associated with that right now.
No.
You know?
There's no controversy with Little Caesars.
Is there pizza controversy?
No, it's just pizza. Pizza?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Maybe Papa had a little
Papa had a little controversy.
Papa had a little one, but I don't think pizza.
Papa John used to come around, by the way, on those radio rows when you used to go out there and do interviews with everybody.
With everybody.
Because they did one thing that was very smart, and you guys are both in the media, so you know this. When you go to a event and you bring 10,000 pizzas and feed all the media, they become your best friend.
That's it.
Papa John, literally, the lady walked over from Papa John's to, I think it was me and Hockman, we were in Phoenix or whatever we were. You guys plain or like pepperoni or something? And I'm like, what about one of each? No problem, we'll be right back, sir. Brought over like 3 or 4 pizzas, dropped them on a chair, and every booth out of the 80 booths there had 4 or 5 pizzas sitting on there.
How much free marketing is that?
As much as they wanted.
Exactly.
If it's free, it's for me.
Papa John, you got time in the next segment to come on and talk about your pizza deals for the Super Bowl? No problem. And it wasn't a dude that worked for Papa John. It was him himself. And he did every interview at every table, 80 interviews probably or more around the entire country talking about his pizza. I mean, that's another part of the big business.
You shouldn't go around talking about your pizza that much.
I mean, I don't think Papa John's is that bad, especially with the garlic sauce.
Right, now the garlic sauce is good. Well, the whole point was back in the day, it didn't matter. I mean, you know what Radio Row turns out to be. I'll still remember the first one I ever went to. And it's like Joe Montana walking around and Jim Kelly walking around. Now, I am, you can see my eyes now.
I was about to say your eyes are wide open.
And I'm just like, and I'm talking down the line to Joe or to young Greg, who was our producer at the time. And I'm like, dude, I think we might have a chance to get, you know, Joe Montana in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm obviously going to get him. Tell Joe I'm going to try to get him here. Hey, Joe's person walking around with him. Does Joe have any time in the 9 o'clock hour? 9:20? Yeah, we'll take him at 9:20. Here's the one sheet. What is this? Oh, okay, he's Snickers bars. Okay, Joe Montana for Snickers. No problem. Quickly write some stuff up, send it back to Joe back there. Joe would ask football questions, and then Joe Montana would go into a six-minute rant on how much he loves Snickers bars. And I could just close my eyes and go, cha-ching, cha-ching. That's another check for him. Jim Kelly in the Tampa Super Bowl, I'll never forget this, way back in the day, 2006 or 7, I forgot when it was. He came around with buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken and gift certificates. He dropped an 8-piece bucket on our table and gave me like five $20 gift certificates to KFC, put them on the table. It was like, who's my interview with? And I'm like, Joe Rose back in Miami. He goes, oh, I know Joe. Gets on there, and for about 6 minutes straight, he goes to me. He goes, all right, Joe, hold on a sec. I'm here with your guy. Was your guy's name Zach? Yeah, like I'm like I had no microphone. Hey, I was like, "Hey, how you doing?" He goes, "I'm not leaving until Zach finishes two or three pieces of this delicious chicken." And they put a mic in front of me, and this is what you heard. It was the grossest radio of all time, but that was the big business of the NFL. I had to eat fried chicken.
Tastes like chicken.
It was so good, and you know me. Oh, this is delicious. More gift certificates. Oh, I love this place. This is my favorite chicken
Slide
place.
Slide some more across the table. Right. Appreciate that.
Big business of the NFL.
Love it. Mm.
So we go back to when your first question, what do you think it's worth? And we can't really put a number on it. Just the franchise values. More than likely in the range of $160 billion for the 32 teams.
With the B.
B. With no, there's B. No M's. Mm. There's no M's there. Let's take a break. We'll come back right after this. We'll wrap things up. We got Malik Rozier coming on at the end of the show with us. Excellent, excellent interview from earlier in the show. Let's take a break. All right, we're going to have Malik Rozier joining us here in just a couple minutes. Excellent interview from earlier this morning. Great stuff by him. If you missed that, you are going to love this interview with Malik Rozier. If you are a Hurricanes fan or not, and you just want to hear a great story about some – and, God, the weird part was he brought up some stuff that's so similar to what's going on right now with this Canes football team. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this Canes team going forward. We have a couple we have a couple texts coming in here. Let me read these for you also. So $5 a pizza slice will now cost five. Well, no, yeah, maybe it's $5 a slice now.
I mean, that price didn't go up? I mean, listen.
I would just assume that the price is going to go up at this point,
the
right?
The 99 cents iced tea that I thought never would go up is now like $1.29.
Right.
You know, anything could happen.
Yep. Someone said, fellas, they could suspend Calvin Ridley for gambling for an entire year, and you're going to tell me that we can't suspend Watson for an entire season for 24 alleged allegations of sexual misconduct makes no sense. No, I think he's going to be gone for the season.
I think he's gone for a year.
Yeah.
He has to be.
I think that 100%. I don't think at this point that it's going to be less than that.
I would be shocked if he came and played this year.
Oh, no. I think so, too. I think that anyone thinks that this is going to be less than that. That's crazy.
And like, if crazy. He does, that attorney's going to get a lot of business.
Oh, my God. think about so far.
Oh, man.
Just Rusty Harden, who's his attorney right now, since the day he took over. I mean, how long has this investigation been? 18 months?
At least.
Right? All last season.
Yeah.
Remember, and the crazy part is also, we talk about this too, me and Joe, all the time in Hollywood. Could have easily been the Dolphins that traded for him.
Easily.
And been here. And we would have had Tua here still, more than likely, mm-hmm. with Deshaun Watson in the background, thinking, and maybe had the same Baker Mayfield kind of situation where Tua's like, all right, you traded for your guy. I want out.
Yeah, but Tua's not going to be like that.
No, I don't think he would either.
Tua's just going to be like, all right, I'm going to go through the motions. Let's go.
Right. And Tua probably, if you would have put Tua in Baker's situation, Tua probably would have embraced this season and done what you said.
Yeah.
Had out, balled out, good team, good offensive line, two really good running backs, decent defense, good defense,
yep.
And said, all right, I'm going to play it out. You're not going to franchise me next season
because
you got Deshaun Watson under contract. I'm going to be an unrestricted free agent.
Let me increase my value, and there's one Ooh-wee. Position on the football field that right. people overpay for, overdraft every single year,
right.
and it's a QB. And all you had to do was go out there and ball a little bit. You don't have to be top five quarterback, top right. seven quarterback. Yeah, be right. top 15, top 10. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
The money that they're giving to these guys, man, that's why I don't get with Baker. Like, yo, bro, swallow your pride.
Right.
You're literally making $18 million a year. Someone's paying you to play a sport. Shut up. Get in there. I know you want to yell at everybody's job and stuff like that. Go in there, scream at them or whatever. No one's making $18 million a year and being a little baby on the sidelines.
No.
Hey, you know what? Hey, Browns, call me. You know what? Glenn Cook, hit me up. I'll come through. I'll play quarterback. I'll do it for league minimum
right
now. And let me see what I get as a free agent next
That's
year.
That's it.
We're good.
Baker's in a good position to, A, like you said, make that $18 million no matter what this year.
He's making it
no matter
what.
No, he gets it no matter what. Whether he sits on the sideline, plays for a different team, it doesn't matter. He's going to make $18 million this year from Cleveland and increase his value if he can. Or guess what? If he's not good, he got his $18 million, and he'll be a backup somewhere
else.
He'll
be a backup and get paid millions of dollars a year for the next 8 to 10 years.
I couldn't believe it when a couple of years ago when Kansas City made it to the Super Bowl, Pat Mahomes, like that first Super Bowl he went to, and I couldn't believe it because I didn't really pay attention to it that the backup quarterback there was Chad Henne.
Yeah.
Chad Henne was here for years. Chad Henne's been around the league.
Was he still not there last year or the year before?
I think he's
right?
still there now. I honestly think he's still there now. I just look at all this and go, quarterback in the NFL, obviously starting quarterback, and you're going to make
different.
$45, $50 million a year, especially the better you are, obviously you're going to make that category. But let's just say you're the backup, and you're a career backup. You're going to make $8 to $10 million a year.
Even if you make half of that.
$5 million a
year.
$5 million. What's Teddy making this year? Teddy's a backup.
Teddy's making, I think, up to four something.
Right. So, like, whatever. And probably with incentives if playing time, going to make more than that if he ends up playing, if something happens to Tua at that point.
What's the dude? Chase Daniels.
Right.
Perfect example. Right. He's throwing, like, what, 200 balls in the league and has made $30-something million?
Right.
Are you kidding me? Who wouldn't sign up for that?
I mean, backup quarterback in the NFL, and you're the most popular guy on the team.
Most popular.
Because when something – that starting quarterback throws three picks in the game and he's not that good, you're calling for that backup. Matt Moore was here for years. Matt Moore was great. I loved Matt Moore. And Matt Moore just sat here and kind of knew what his role was. He knew he wasn't going to be the starter, but he knew he was so close to going in there if Tannehill or someone got hurt that he would be able – and that's what happened that year that – Gase was the coach, and they went to the playoffs, 2016. That was the year Tannehill was really having a good year. Like, Tanny was, whoa, maybe he's taking the turn. Maybe Gase has turned him into something and gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Moore comes in last couple games of the season. They make the playoffs. They get blown out by the Steelers in the playoffs. But I think some people were like, it's possible we have a better chance of winning this game with Matt Moore than Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Like that backup quarterback job,
Great money to do what? 4 months worth of work?
Yeah.
Really? 4 months?
Not bad, right.
And you're literally just being in practice and say, hey, mentally be prepared and know the plays.
Right.
Most likely never going to get in the game, but I'm going to give you $4 million to sit on the bench, have the best seats in the house,
and
be around the boys. We good.
That is, it's just incredible to me that backup quarterback position is great out there. But I'll never understand the Baker thing. With Baker, I get he's pissed off that they went in a different direction, but you just kind of know the business of the NFL. I mean, the Dolphins did it in the middle of the season.
It's such a cutthroat business.
Right.
You're making $18 million, and I know you think the world of yourself.
Of course.
But you really haven't done that in this league. And don't say you didn't have a team around you because you had one of the best offensive line.
Right.
You got Chubb behind you. You had OBJ, Landry. You've been surrounded by some dudes.
Correct.
And the only year you actually were successful, nobody was in the stands, and it was like a practice for you.
Right,
you know?
That's interesting, too.
Like, my man, go ahead, humble yourself a little bit, work hard, and if you really are that dude, shut everybody else up.
That's it.
It's easy.
Right.
Shut everybody up,
right.
And then go make $80 million next year in free agency.
Yeah, because he is put in a pretty good position, like you said, the fact that if he does do that, if he takes your exact track, your road to the next level for Baker Mayfield, he's not going to get franchised. He's not going to get transition tagged and stuck in Cleveland. They're not going to pay two quarterbacks $20 million plus a year. They're not.
Absolutely not. But you know what? Someone's going to say, okay, what's the market value? Okay, everyone's at 230. Everyone's making 40-something. All right, cool. I'll give you $20 to $25 million a year for 3 years. Done.
I'll take it.
No problem. Right.
And there's teams every year that need quarterbacks. So
and
it's
they
not
do
like,
all these dumb
oh,
contracts.
There's none left, so Baker's in a bad position.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their guy, and they're very happy with their guy. There's a couple rookies that got drafted this year and the year before that, including here, that maybe after the season want to move on and maybe want to go somewhere else and pay someone else and not pay their guy. And if Baker comes off a really good year with a good team, puts himself in a great position.
Sky's the limit.
God. The business of football, man.
Business,
you gotta love it, and it's really that position more than anything else, that quarterback position. But I wonder what the Browns are thinking in the back of their heads right now, kind of knowing what more than likely was going to happen with Deshaun with some sort of suspension, and now going into this. What if you're a player on that team? You know, what if you're Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt or Amari Cooper, who thought he was catching passes from probably, at worst, Baker,
yeah.
and, oh, my God, Deshaun, and now Jacoby Brissett.
Like, yeah, because, you know, you're going to have guys that are going to rally around Baker.
Right.
Because,
right.
you know, as most guys just want to win. Like, we're playing this game to win. I don't want to go into the field and lose and get embarrassed.
Right.
So they're going to tell coaches, they're going to tell front office, like, look, he's going to be fine. We'll make sure it works in the locker room. But we're going to need him over, let's say, Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
We could be more successful with him. And then when it comes down to it, if the boys are rallying for Baker, I mean, how's Baker really going to turn to them and say, yeah, guys, nah, I'm not coming back? How are you really going to step into another locker room when we're all friends and we all text and we all talk and say, yo, did you hear what this dude did to us?
Right.
We all sent him a message and everything. No one's going to want you in their team.
Right. There might be 32 teams, but it's a very small community of players that
yeah.
can all talk to
and
each other.
And we all work out in the same – and everyone comes to Miami and goes to the same type of trainers.
Right.
And we're in the clubs and everything else. And you're like, bro, you hear this guy? No. You don't want that, Baker. Just go ahead, swallow your pride.
Right.
Strap him up.
You go
get back
football.
To work. You're playing football, man. That's all it is. You're playing man. Football for a ridiculous amount of money.
Right.
And by the way, most of us think you suck anyways.
Right.
So go ahead and shut us up.
Don't worry. Right. That's it.
Don't worry about it.
All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, we had a great interview with Malik Rozier earlier this morning, and we talked about Legends Camp and everything he's doing in the background right now. Tyler Van Dyke, a lot of stuff around what Malik Rozier is doing in the kind of off the field with these guys also. You hear all of that. That's coming up next here on QAM. I feel like I'm signing off for an update and throwing it back to myself. Thanks, Zach. Traffic and everything all at once. Yeah, we are going to talk to Malik Rozier. That's right. You know that name. Former Miami Hurricane quarterback. Going to join us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Got a lot of things going on in the background that I'm excited to talk about it. But we'll first start with this. Malik, first off, thank you for a couple minutes here today on the show with myself and your boy Brian. But how was Kane's Legends Camp? Like, how was that for someone going back to campus, seeing new players, recruits, seeing old guys? And I say old guys, I mean former players. I don't want to say old guys.
I'm one of those old guys.
You
now.
Are one of those old guys. Former players and alum. That's a really cool weekend for anyone either coming back to the school that has played there or hopefully coming to play on Green Tree Fields.
Yeah, no, I love the event. Definitely appreciate all the alumni and even Mario Cristobal for making guys like me definitely feel loved, you know. That was a big thing for me, was that when I was there, there was so much love and energy. And on top of that, just the competitive energy that Mario brought, you know, that was one of his big things, was that he wanted to see if these five stars were five stars. He wanted us to go out there and motivate and really get these guys to compete to see who was good and who wasn't. And I think that's one thing that Mario is really good at, and especially in hosting that campus, kind of weeding out who's there for the highlight video and who's there to actually work. So, I mean, I had a great time. It was great to see the players compete. It was great to just be around some of those guys. You know, I haven't seen John Feliciano, Duke Johnson, Deion Bush. I haven't seen some of those guys in years. So it's always nice just to come back, talk to those guys, see how those guys are doing, and just be around some of the guys that you just played football with 5-6 years ago.
Now, what did you think was the biggest difference between, like, when you're around and Coach Richt was here, Manny Diaz is here, and now Cristobal, you know, did you sense anything different in the air? Was there a different vibe to you with Cristobal and the staff that he put together?
Yeah. I just think their energy, you know, I'll give it to Rick. Rick had a really good staff. You know, some of those guys, like Todd Hartley, is one of the best tight ends recruiter. The running backs coach I was with us, Thomas Brown, is the assistant offensive coordinator for the LA Rams. So, I mean, Rich staff had energy. You know, Diaz, obviously, they had their own type of energy. I wasn't really around their practices as much. But at least what I've been around Mario. So I was at Georgia a couple years ago, and that's kind of energy that I got. You know, it's high intensity. It's fast paced. You're going to see the guys that really want and the guys that really don't. But I think at the end of the day, like, I think these players know that they're loved. You know what I mean? I think that they understand that. The reason why Mario is so passionate, why Mario is on top of everybody, is because, like, he is an ex-player. And to me, that's really big, because I've talked to some of the guys, and I think that's a huge stamp for them, is the fact that this guy actually bled and sweat orange and green the same way we do on Green Tree. And I think that's really going to help these guys, kind of give them that extra motivation to say, hey, man, we really got to play for this guy. You know, he's been on a national championship team, which obviously, as a Miami Hurricane, like, that's kind of your goal. And the fact that Mario's already accomplished a lot of that, he's already been through everything that we've been through, kind of just helps them motivate themselves mentally, because there have been some times where, like, you know, you have a coach that says something to you like, man, you didn't even play football before. Like, you don't know what I'm dealing with, but they can't say that to Mario. You know what I mean? Mario's been in Miami. He's done everything that you're going to go through and more. So I think that's the respect factor that a lot of these players have that they haven't had in the past.
Yeah, Malik, you started talking about some of the coaching staff and obviously Mario Cristobal, but that rest of the coaching staff, what he put together, I mean, I've been talking with Brian Ford now 2 days straight, and with any guest that comes on, how impressed I was when we went from a school years and years ago that probably couldn't put out the money to bring in a really big-name coach, forget about the staff. Instead, you bring in the big-name coach, and he brings in one hell of a staff on both sides of the ball.
Agreed.
And I just, I want to know what you thought when obviously you saw all this happening and Mario getting hired, and then the staff he puts together with Steele and Gattis and Charlie Strong, like all these dudes that came in. This is impressive, man.
The one that's really been blowing me, and you know, so the biggest thing that I saw that I think Coach Cristobal's doing that I saw at Georgia, and that's what I'm compared to because obviously they're a powerhouse, was that, you know, Georgia had guys that were ex-head coaches that were coming back to Georgia just to coach again or be around those guys. You know, they had Mark Luke. They just picked up, what's his name? Who is the old Florida Gators coach that's there now?
Muschamp.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, these are ex-head coaches that are around these players. We're doing the same thing now. You know, we have Coach O out there. I think that's a big one. You know, having some of these guys that are ex-head coaches that have won stuff, have won national championships, bringing them around, even if it's not as a full-time coach, but just around those players in general is huge. And I think that, to me, that's the most surprising. And to me, that's the best thing that I see is that, he's actually bringing around really good coaches, whether they're position coaches, even ex-head coaches, to come in and, like, bring in knowledge and bring in different outlooks and get a different set of eyes on these players, the film breakdown, different things along that line, to me is really huge because that's whenever you really start to be able to find different expectations on defenses, offenses that maybe your staff wouldn't be able to find, but because you brought in a different head coach that might be just doing film breakdown or something along those lines. Like, he's going to see stuff because he's been around the game just as long, sometimes even longer than some of these coaches. You know, Coach Ed Ogeron's probably been around the game coach longer than Mario Cristobal just because he's older. So maybe one or two things that he sees. Obviously, Coach Cristobal is one of the best to ever do it. That's why I'm extremely happy to have Coach Cristobal. But at least for me, that was a big eye-opener to see Coach O, an ex-head coach, especially in LSU, that won a national championship around the Miami players, to me is really impactful as well.
And with good coaching, you bring in new recruits and better recruits. And right now, the recruiting has been on fire, and we just got our second quarterback commit of the class. And I think you have a unique perspective on this because you came in with another quarterback in Brad Kaya when you did commit to University of Miami. And right now, we have Emery Williams, who is the three-star guy. And then you had Jaden Rashad, who is the four-star. Everyone talks about him. You know, when you came in, why did you continue to come to Miami when you had this California stud that everyone talked about and is saying is going to be the next great quarterback at Miami? And how tough was it for you to, you know, sit behind Kaya and wait your turn and then all of a sudden, you know, have this amazing 2017 season?
So it's funny. So that's kind of like deja vu. So Emery Williams actually trains with Quarterback Country. So that's the company that I trained with out of high school and actually the company that I develop quarterbacks with now, and it is kind of funny. So I actually text Emery, and I told him that exact same thing. I was like, hey, I know that you're going to see a lot of stuff on Twitter with Rashada. I was like, my biggest thing to you is put your head down and work. I said the same thing happened to me. You know, I was committed to Miami. Miami also had four-star California quarterback Brad Kaya, and I was like, at the end of the day, like, if you're a true Miami Hurricane at your heart, like, we don't run from competition. You know, competition is only going to make you better. So,
absolutely.
Like, you know what I mean? And I think that really resonated with Emery. You know, he told me, thank you for reaching out. But that was kind of my mindset. You know, I've never been scared to compete versus anybody. And I think that's one of my big traits is that competition doesn't scare me. I actually embrace competition because I feel like even if someone is better than you, like, you're sooner or later going to have to compete against them. Or maybe you learn something from them that makes your game better. So it's like really trying to figure out what you can do and just never running. And I think that's one thing that Emery's going to do. That's one thing that I did, you know, and I've learned a lot from Brad Kaya. You know, me and Brad are actually really good friends. I remember there were times it was just me and Brad by ourselves in the volleyball sand pit throwing to each other, just trying to figure out how to get better. And I think there's things like that Emery and Rashada will hopefully do, and they create a close bond. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for both of them.
It's great stories coming from all that. It's Malik Rozier on the line talking with us here about everything. Now, obviously, you see what Tyler Van Dyke's like on the field, but you work with him off the field as well. What kind of player is Tyler Van Dyke. We've seen it. I mean, obviously we saw 300-yard games like there were nothing last year at the end of the season once he got the starting job. But give us a little more insight of what you've seen from Tyler and what we might be able to see this year as an improvement from Tyler Van Dyke.
Yeah. So I know with me and Tyler, a lot of it was feet placement. So obviously everyone knows he's great with the deep ball, but there were a couple times last year where his feet were offset. So it's like, let's say he's throwing to the left, so his feet is widely set to the left, basically to the sideline, but his receiver is running like a post down the middle of the field. So that puts a lot of stress on his shoulder. So it's stuff like that that we cleaned up, trying to get his feet in the right place, trying to do some stuff with more back hip explosion, back arm explosion, so that we get more velocity. Because obviously Tyler's throwing hard, but I think there's some ways that we can put a little more velocity, which he's really worked on this year, and I'm very excited for him. Actually, we had a whole bunch of guys at the Manning Passing Academy. So our head guy David Morris was under Eli Manning whenever he was in college. You know, obviously they have the Manning Passing Academy, and you know, I reached out to David Morris and a couple of the guys on staff, and I was like, "How did Tyler look?" Because obviously, you know, they're some of the most elite guys at the Manning Passing Academy, and they say he looked electric. You know, the ball came out with great velocity, and they were actually really surprised how just polished and well and fundamentally sound that Tyler looked. And that's a predicate to Tyler. You know, that's something that I feel like over this all season, he's really been adamant and really been, I would say, just focused on just getting that 1% better each and every day. And I feel like last year, you know, during midseason, he was kind of learning how to play quarterback because it's a different world, different monster, different way to actually learn how to study film on top of the rehab process that you have to go through after games. And I feel like this year, I think Tyler's going to be a lot more comfortable. He's going to get used to the schedule. He's already gotten used to it. Obviously, you're going to see a new offense, but I think he's going to be a lot more comfortable. I think I know there are some games where, like, he would start fast or start slow, and I think that he's going to kind of eliminate some of those slower starts where, like, he picked up in the third quarter and played faster. I think he'll pick up on these starts a little faster because he'll be more used to be the starter and he'll get used to the schedule. So definitely excited what Tyler Van Dyke's going to do this year.
So Tyler's been getting a lot of, you know, praise and, you know, all the mock drafts have him going in the first round, you know, you being one of the coaches and seeing him close up. You know, what does Tyler have to do this offseason and during the season to live up to this hype and actually become the first round quarterback for Miami since the 80s?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely hope that Tyler Van Dyke is able to do that. I think my biggest thing to him is just leading, you know, because there will be games or potentially will be games where you're down some. Like, how are you going to respond? How do you keep some of these guys in the game? Especially because I think there's going to be a lot of young guys playing this year. You're going to have a lot of young tight ends. You're going to have a lot of young receivers. You got transfer receivers coming in. It's like, how do you keep them mentally in the game if it is a tight game? Or maybe you are down by a score or two and you're trying to come back. I think, to me, that's what the NFL wants to see with Tyler, because the size, the velocity, the IQ, that's not going to be – anything that why they won't draft him. To me, it's going to be some of the more intangible parts, like how do you lead, what do you do mentally, where are you when you're behind in a game, which I think he's going to be great at. But I think that's going to be, and I think on top of that is consistently having long drives. So obviously, as you know, he's one of the best deep ball passers in the ACC, and probably he is one of the best deep ball passers in all of college football. So if I'm a DC, you know, they're going to play off. And my biggest thing to Tyler is take what they give you. You know, when they do give you the one-on-one shots and they mess up and go cover one man and make them pay over the top. But I just see a lot of teams playing him kind of in that Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes kind of blanket coverage a lot, just so that he can't take the deep shots, because that's what he was known for last year. So I think that's going to be, to me, the next step in his game is, can he just be consistent and not get aggravated when people only give him the underneath 5 yards or the hitch route or the quick slant and they don't give you the deep shot? So that, to me, is going to be the next progress in his game that I want to see him make from last year to this year.
Malik, it's been awesome talking to you, man. This has been great. Like, this is good insight of what happened at Legends Camp and everything else. What the hell are you doing off the field right now? Like, I want to get a little bit – we don't have a lot of time left, but I got to ask what the heck you're doing right now.
Yeah, so right now, obviously, I train quarterback, so I'm in Tampa right now, but I have QB Country, Florida. But train quarterback's been up about a year now. I love it. I actually have another company that's a kids development company, so it's an 18-plus sport. We go into, like, daycares, and we teach kids basketball, football, baseball. It's really good. It's going really well. But the last one that I really like is I made a company called Miami Millionaires Club. And been on Twitter a lot about it. You guys will hear more and more about it from some players that we're going to sign with some NIL deals. but it's an educational course. You know, one thing that I was really big on at Miami was that, you know, we had these summer speakers that would come, and they were very educational, very smart, very intelligent people. But once we graduated, there was no way for us to really connect with them. Either they were in California because they were some big California speaker, or New York, or wherever they were from. We have those same people internally. You know, we have those same multimillionaires that go to Miami. We have those same great speakers that go to Miami. It's like, why not really tap into the Miami network and really have those guys come back in the summer and speak to your players? So whenever they graduate, hey, I know I can hit up like one of my business partners, Mike Murphy. Hey, I know I can hit up Mike Murphy, and if I need a job, I can get one immediately. Or, hey, if I'm there's another one, Omar Solomon, that owns College Hunks. Hey, like, he's helped Amon Richards open College Hunks Miami. And it's like, hey, if I don't have my own company, but I want to be a CEO, there, we have CEOs that have business plans that you can franchise out and still be your own CEO and your own business owner. So there's things like that that I'm really been working on hard to help and give back to these athletes, and very interested and excited about that last company.
Speaking of giving back, you have a golf tournament you're getting involved with, right, coming up?
Yes, sir. So there's actually two tournaments. So they're both on July 17th. One of them is with Cam Harris. So it will be a Miami-Dade, Broward County 7-on-7 tournament. We already have the teams. It'll be some like the Miami Norland, Miami Northwestern, Carroll City. There'll be a lot of good teams that Cam Harris has connections with. But it'll be a $2,000 prize just kind of get the kids out there. I know Cam's working on having some other people that can help these kids get recruited. And then the last thing is that afternoon, we're actually doing a charity golf tournament. So this one is really big for us. It's for Demetrius Jackson's nonprofit, Men of Today. Obviously, if you guys are a Miami fan, you guys should know Demetrius Jackson played defensive end while I was there as well. But we're going to have a big charity golf tournament. I know we're going to have tickets up that the company, Miami Mariners Club, is also will have FSU box seat tickets. One of my business partners is even going to do a Toyota Tundra for one of the holes. We're going to do a lot of this on Instagram Live. We're going to have.
Is that hole in one? What is the best score? Hole in one? Let me sign me up real quick, man.
It's one of the par 12, something like that. I don't know. It's one of them. One of them is box seats for the FSU ticket for the long job, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's me. I'm winning that. I'm winning that.
Then the holes, yeah, one of my business partners, Mike, he owns like 7 auto companies, so he's doing a Toyota Tundra. We're going to have some signed balls from some current student-athletes, which you guys will know, but I'm not going to release yet, as well as the people that participate, some of the alumni. We're going to have them sign balls, and we're going to auction those balls off online, and all the proceeds go to Demetrius Jackson's nonprofit.
That's awesome.
So we're hoping to really raise some money for him, to really help him expand his business inside of Miami-Dade.
Well, before we let you go, I mean, how do we find this information? Is there a website? Is there a Twitter that, you know, everyone listening
can
go to? Yeah,
there is a Twitter. So for everybody, this is the company Twitter. It is Miami, and then it's Mills with two L's, so M-I-L-L-S, and then Club. So you'll see it. It's a you should recognize the Sebastian Dutz. He's all gold with a black base. So please follow. We're going to be posting a lot of stuff. We're going to do weekly Monday Twitter spaces. You guys are obviously always able to join. We'd love to have you guys. And we always do Q&As where you guys can ask me anything. And we'd love to just give people insight on what we're doing and creating inside of that company.
Malik, awesome stuff today. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great day, brother.
Wow, fascinating stuff from Malik Rozier there. That was awesome talking to him. All right, Dan Day's coming up next here on 560 QAM. Otherwise, me and Monroe and Vlad, we're back tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.